Are you reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, then we'll get you a schedule. You don't have to read by schedule, but everyone that reads their Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge. Over here, remind me, when Brother Matthew wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ, he wrote about Him as a king, is right, Brother Caleb. How about down through here, Brother Mark, when he wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ, he wrote about Him as a servant, is correct. Down through here, Brother Luke, when he wrote his book about the Lord Jesus, he wrote about Him as a man, is correct. And over here, Brother John, when he wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ, he wrote about Him as a God, is correct. Where's I didn't ask you all, where's his book start? In the beginning, where else? In the bosom, where's y'all's book start? Bethlehem's correct. Okay, y'all doing great. Open your collection of reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God and not from man. What book are we in? What chapter? 14, that's correct. Let's review a little bit. If you remember, we're on verse 24 or that area. There's three questions down through here. At verse 5 and 6, questions and answers. Let's look at that. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? That's a real good question. I'm glad he asked it. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 8 and 9, we've got another question. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? There's the Lord asking a question. 22 and 23 is a question and an answer. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He's going to show us through his words. And my Father will come unto him and make our abode with him. Going to move inside the presence of God. Have you been practicing the presence of God? He lives in your heart. He moves inside. 26, 25 and 26. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom my Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said to you. Jesus came in the Father's name. The Holy Spirit came in the Son's name. Now I want to back up a little bit here to about verse 21. And look at something today. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. We'll be talking about that, keeping them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. My sayings are made up of words. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Now, many times what I do, and I've heard it said, talk about in general keeping the commandments. And I might say, you don't keep the commandments to get saved. We're saved by faith, not by works. And I'm implying that keeping is obedience. Obedience. And we do that a lot. I say it myself, and I hear it a lot. And I'll, the lesson this morning, it's a one-point lesson. I know it sounds simple, but I want to try to prove that obey is not the same as keep. And keep's not the same as obey. They're two different words. If you want to obey something, I looked it up. Obedience is in, or obey, some form of it. Obey, obedience, obedient, obeyest, obeyeth, obeying is in the Bible 150 times. Matter of fact, we're in no way implying that you should not obey the commandments. Seven times in the Bible it talks about obeying the commandments, or maybe what might happen if you don't obey the commandments. We're supposed to obey the commandments, not to go to heaven, and not in John chapter 14. Any questions on that? Chapter 14, John 14 is talking about keeping the commandments. If you want to, here's the definition for obey. It's really simple. It means hear or hearken. Hear or hearken. The preacher talks about that a lot. We hear, but we don't hearken. My definition for obey is to do. To do. That's a barnyard definition. If we head over top of the door out there, and we may do it, I think we do, a sign that says no food and drink in the sanctuary, in the big room. Well, if I bring food and drink in, then I'm not hearkening. And I'm not doing what the sign says. If I don't bring food and drink in, then I'm hearkening and I'm obeying the sign. If you want to obey something, the Bible talks about being obedient to the faith. It says we're supposed to be obedient to righteousness. We're supposed to be obedient to Christ. But now none of those are in John 14. We're talking about obedience. Hey, if you want to obey something, 56 times it says obey His voice. Pretty good. We heard a little bit about that Wednesday night. There's a voice in. It won't be a voice from the sky. There's a voice in here. Because remember, we're practicing His presence. He lives inside. 56 times obey the voice. We're supposed to obey the commandments seven times in the Bible. It says that. We're not talking about not obeying. Chapter 14 is talking about something different. It's not obeying. We're supposed to be obedient to the truth. We're supposed to be obedient to the gospel. Actually, what I found, I thought I was going to find that, but I think it was three times it talks about those who have not obeyed the gospel. But the gospel will be something real good to obey. Can someone besides the preacher remind me what the gospel is? Death, burial, that Jesus died, buried, and rose again. When I received Him, I was obedient to the gospel when I received Him. We're supposed to obey the gospel. It says we're supposed to obey Him. We're supposed to obey God. And how about this one? I'm supposed to obey from the heart. From the heart. Now, let's look at the word keep. That's obey. Even back when the commandments were given the first time in Exodus 20, let's look there and see what we find. And it's on that wee little fine print box on your handout, if you want to look at that. It says, in verse 6, Exodus 20, verse 6, the Lord has given Moses the Ten Commandments the first time. And verse 6 says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." My goodness, that sounds just like John 14. That sounds just like those four verses I just read. Red letters, Jesus saying, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then in verse 8 you have, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Now, I don't think we're going to be obeying the Sabbath day. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about keep. On your paper there, that little square, the fine print in your concordance, if you look up in there and look up keep, word number 8104 is the word keep that was used in Exodus 20. And here's what it means. It means to hedge about as with thorns. It means to guard. It means to protect. It means to preserve. You do have take heed to down there in the middle, but it's not the first definition. I think what the Lord's trying to tell me is I need to guard this. I need to guard it. I need to hold on to it. I need to protect it. I don't need to let anyone take it away from me. It's what I think keep means. Over in John 14, let's go back over there. Now, if you look up the word keep in the concordance in the Greek, the word is 5083. The way it's used in John chapter 14. You have an advantage in the concordance. There's some disadvantages, but you have an advantage in the concordance. It tells you which definition is used there in that verse. And in these verses in John 14, the Greek word 5083, and then there's how it's written in Greek, and you did the same thing in the Hebrew, and there's how it's pronounced in English. That's how you say it. I can't do all that. But here's the definition. The definition is to guard, to keep an eye upon it. It implies a fortress of full military lines of apparatus. Is how I'm going to guard this. It means to hold fast, to preserve, or to watch. It's not the same thing as obey. It's not the same. Let me ask you this. How can I obey it if I haven't held on to it? If I don't know where it's at. Now, we've got an English Bible. We're talking about this in the prayer room there. So then on the big side of your paper, here's the English definition for keep. And we'll look at those in just a minute. Let's look at Psalm 12. We find the word keep. Starting in verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. Can I get an amen right there? As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Well, right here, God's keeping them. Now, He's not obeying them. He wrote them. He obeys them just naturally. That's what He does. Yeah. It's not talking about Him obey, but it's talking about preserve. Here in your King James Dictionary, you have keep and preserve. Keep and preserve. Not the same thing as obeying. Let's look at it in Proverbs 7. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Right here in your King James Dictionary, keep is the same as lay up. That's not the same as obey. How am I going to obey them if I don't have them laid up, Brother Caleb? I need to hold on to them. I need to guard them, hedge about them, or I'm not going to know what to obey. Verse 2, keep my commandments and live. That's a pretty good deal. Not and go to heaven. It did not say, keep my commandments and go to heaven. That's not how you get to heaven. Right. You get to heaven with Jesus in your heart when you receive Christ, when you obey the gospel. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Hold on to them, guard. Verse 3, bind. Keep in these verses means bind. Hold on to, guard them, protect them. Bind them upon thy fingers. Hold on to them. Write them upon the table of thine heart. When they pry my dead cold fingers around it, then they can have it. Then they can have it. Bind them upon thy fingers. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding my kinsman, that they may obey thee. No, I don't think so. Keep and obey is not the same thing. The commandments are going to keep me. They're going to preserve me. They're going to guard me. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Let's look at it in Revelation 1:3. Morning, Brother Moses. This is my friend, Brother Moses. Y'all can shake hands with him a little later. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I don't know, correct me, but I don't think there's any commandments in Revelation. I think it's talking about guarding it. There might be, I'm sure there is, but I think it's talking about guarding it. Now let's look on your paper there. That's out of the 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary that some of our friends don't really like. They try to dig up any dirt they can against Noah, against Brother Noah. Keep. Now you got there's 21 definitions here, and then it starts over again, and some of them are like keep as a verb, as a transitive verb, an intransitive verb, and as a noun. You'll see as you go down through there. But there's really like 30-some definitions for the word keep. For the word keep. And we won't look at all of them, but look here at number one. It means to hold. Not the same thing as obey.
Right.
It means to hold. To hold. To retain in one's power or possession. Not to lose. Not to lose or part with. To keep anything in memory, in my mind or my heart.
Right.
To keep. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's what the Lord said in red letters. Definition number two. To have custody or secure. For security or preservation. Well, the Lord doesn't need my help preserving it. He's doing the fine without me. Before I got here, He was preserving it. He'll be doing fine when I'm gone, but I'm not going to go against it. I'm going to preserve it. Definition number three, to preserve or retain. We're talking about the word keep. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm going to have to hold on to them. I'm going to have to know where they're at before I can obey them. Definition number four, to preserve from falling. I like to hold on to it. Going from it's raining from the car, from the truck to the truck. I like to hold on to it. I like to protect it. I like to keep it from falling. I don't want to drop it in a mud hole or nothing like that. To protect, to guard, to sustain. Definition number five, to hold or restrain from departure, to detain. I don't want it to depart from me. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what the Lord said. Definition number six, to tend, to have care of. As you would tend a garden. See, this one right here has been recovered. It got tore up. I sent it off and had it maintained. Maintain. To tend, to take care of. I'm going to try to take care of it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to throw it around. I'm not going to lay stuff on top of it.
Right.
Especially when Mamaw's around. To keep. Number seven, to tend, to feed, as to keep sheep and cattle. As to keep horses. He keeps his horses on hay. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to have it. I'm going to lay it up. I'm going to bind it in my fingers. It's what the definition said. Number eight, to preserve in any tenor or state. I'm not going to go in there and change mansion to rooms.
Right.
I'm going to preserve it in the state the Lord gave it to me. I'm not going to go in there and change comfortless to orphan. I'm going to preserve it in the state He gave it to me. I'm not going to be careless with it. Number nine, to regard, to attend to. You know, when we have school, we take attendance. I want to show up every morning. I want to show up to where he's at every morning, see what he's got for me. I want to attend to it. I want to attend. Number 11, to continue. To keep the same road, the same pace, to keep at a given distance. Well, Brother Dennis likes to say to those complainers, remember how happy you were the day you got this job. Well, I just need to remember how happy I was the day I got saved and holding it close to my heart. And what if I just keep it the same distance? If you love me, keep my commandment. The definition is keep it the same distance. I don't want to leave it over in Montgomery somewhere, and I'm over here. I'm going on a trip. I love to lay it up there on the dice, especially if I'm going to the hospital, make a hospital visit. He's up front. He's protecting me. I don't worry about nothing, which I don't worry about if it's in the back seat. But another little thing on that, if you carry that Bible in, the hospital will let you in. They won't even ask you any questions. They say, yeah, come on in. Come on in. Now, we get down to definition number 12 out of about 30 definitions. It does mean obey. Keep can mean obey. Sometimes it does. Definition number 12 means to practice, to perform, to obey, to observe in practice, not to violate. 13 is the same way, to perform. 14 is to practice, to use habitually. Well, then it goes right back to keep as to guard. Verse number 15 is to copy carefully. If I was a scribe, Old Testament scribe, there's no way when it says mansion, I'm writing down here room. Right. To copy carefully. If I was a scribe and it come to comfortless, there's no way. And there's no way I'm going to write down there orphan. That's not copying carefully.
Right.
If you love me, keep my commandments. Don't be monkeying with them. Don't be changing words around. He's going to manifest himself through his words, what he told him. That's what he said there. Now 16 says to observe, and it's observe it solemnly. I can't say that word with I-Z-E on it. But solemnly, I'm going to say, to keep. Number 17 is to board or maintain. Now, I live in the house my mom grew up in, and before her, Mamaw lived in it. And they tell me my Mamaw kept boarders. She rented out rooms. And we're boarding this. We're taking care of it till we check out of here. This is a boarder in my house. It says to board or maintain. Definition number 18 says to have in the house. Now, I've told you about, we were visiting, this is in Nicholas County. We visited two different homes in Nicholas County that didn't even have a book. It wasn't they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a book.
Yeah.
We just wanted to prop something up and there was no books. I bet you they had one of those other things. I don't know, but they didn't have a book. To have in the house. I think I'm going to keep it in the house. Definition number 20, to hold in one's own bosom. Well, that's going to work out real good if I keep it at the same distance and hold it. Number 20 is to hold in one's own bosom, to confine to one's own knowledge, like keeping a secret. 21, to have. Do you have one? We'll get you one if you don't have one. We'll get you one. You drop on down there, definition number 3 now. We changed over to a different form of the word keep, but it's still keep. It's still, if you love me, keep my commandments. And number 3, still in the middle column, about an inch or two from the bottom, it says to keep company with. How you doing? You get to come to the Bible Reader's Banquet free if you've been keeping company with it. The children, the church in the wilderness, when they went through the wilderness, the Lord kept company with them. He stayed with them all the way through. He stayed with us to keep company with. Number 2, to accompany, as to go with, as to keep company with one on a journey or a voyage. Hey, we're going to heaven. Let's just go ahead and keep company with this all the way in. Up in the third column, up toward the top, it says to keep or maintain or prevent. Or to prevent from falling, or to prevent from diminishing. It means don't take any words out of it. On down there toward the top it says keep to remain in any state. That means leave the mansion in there and the comfortless in there. And to last, to endure. Then on down there toward the bottom it says keep custody, to guard, to repeat continually, not to cease. And then it says guardianship. I'm a guardian over this right here, over the Word of God. Okay, well, that's enough. That's enough. Let's go back to Romans verse 27. We'll get there in a minute. I hate to ask it this way. I'll just go ahead and say it. Maybe you heard of the movie Ben Hur. Did you ever hear of Ben Hur? Charlton Heston. They had to train him to drive a chariot. And the director asked him how it's going. He said, well, it's all I can do to hold on, let alone win. I don't know how I'm going to win the race. He said, well, you hold on. Your job is to hold on. It's my job to make sure you win. I'll make you win. Hey, look, just hold on. The Lord's going to make you win. I just hold on to His copy of it. I preserve it, guard it, hold on to it. There's peace in knowing who wins in the end. Just go ahead and read the last chapter. Go ahead and get in there. A captain of a ship saw a light in the distance, and he told the signal man to send a message. You know, he got that big, I just saw it on TV. That's all I know. He got the big round lights, got the Venetian blinds in front of it, you know, and it goes like, and they send a message like that. The captain said, send a message to that light to alter their course 10 degrees to the south. The answer came back, you alter your course 10 degrees to the north. The captain said, send a message to offer to for them to alter their course 10 degrees to the south. I'm the captain. The message came back, alter your course 10 degrees to the north, Seaman Third Class Jones. The captain said, send a message, alter their course 10 degrees to the south. I'm a battleship. The message came back, you alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I'm a lighthouse. Yeah. Now, sometimes I need to alter my course according to the light of the world, the Lord Jesus. Okay, we're on verse 27 now. Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Again, it's good to know who's going to win in the end. It's all Him, it's not me. You know, that verse is a lot like verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. No use me and the Lord both worrying about it. He's going to take care of us. He done said He would. Romans 5:1. I've read, this is Martin Luther's favorite verse. I don't know that. I've read another verse was his favorite also. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, through being good. No, through keeping the commandments. No, through, how about through obeying the commandments? No. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 8, verse 1, Romans. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now, right now, Sunday morning in June, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Peace, we're talking about peace. Philippians. Philippians 4:7. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We're talking about peace in my heart. And then the last verse on that, Isaiah 26:3. This is Sister Kim's verse, one of them. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Okay, back to John 14, verse 28. You've heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. We should have wanted him to go back to heaven, back home. They should have been rejoicing. We should rejoice. We're going home. We're going home. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Verse 23, and Jesus answered and said to them, if any man love me, he will keep my words. And then Philippians 2. If you love me, rejoice. Philippians 2, starting in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. John 14, 29 and 30. And now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. The Lord Jesus had no guile in him for Judas. He didn't hate Judas. He would have saved him up to the last minute. He didn't have any guile against the Pharisees. He didn't hate the chief priest. He wasn't against the leaders. He was for. He loved everybody. He helped everybody. James 1. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Rick's my biggest problem. Biggest problem. The man that walks around under my hat gives me more fits than anybody. John 14:31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. His first duty was to the cross. He was headed toward the cross. He had his eye set on the cross. And that was because he's also faithful to the Father, like Sister Cheryl saying, and faithful to the Word. He didn't run from the cross. He advanced to meet the cross. He said, arise and let us go hence. He always pointed to the Father's will, the Father's works, the Father's words. That was his pleasure, to obey the Father. Now, normally he doesn't talk about himself, but here in this chapter he knows he's right at the cross. It's the week of the cross. It's getting toward the end of the week. And he talks about I, me, mine, myself 79 times in this chapter, getting ready for the cross. In John 1:18, we saw the Son in the bosom of the Father. And then in 13:25, we see the church laying in the bosom of Jesus. John represents the church. Matthew talks about the Father 44 times. Now, there's other little earthly fathers, but talking about the Heavenly Father. Matthew talks about the Heavenly Father 44 times. Mark, 5 times. Luke, 17 times. Brother John talks about the Heavenly Father 122 times. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. In Christ's name, amen. Yes. Amen. Very good. Very good. Thank you.
Singing this morning.